RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
I'm reading from an RNZ story on the 17th of August, new leadership announced for Human Rights Commission. And they tell us the government has named new leadership for the Human Rights Commission. Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith announced back then on that date that Dr. Stephen Rainbow would be appointed as the new Chief Human Rights Commissioner. Dr. Gail Pacheco, the Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, and Dr. Melissa Darby, who's been on this program before, the Race Relations Commissioner. Goldsmith said Rainbow's career has encompassed a range of roles, including managing government relations for the largest infrastructure project in New Zealand. He lectured at Victoria University, Director of Urban Strategy at Wellington City Council, National Manager of the New Zealand Historic Places Trust, and he was a councillor in Wellington between 89 and 98. New Race Relations Commissioner Melissa Darby is a senior lecturer at Waikato University, teaching early literacy and human development. And Dr. Gail Pacheco is a professor of economics and director of the New Zealand Policy Research Institute at Auckland University of Technology. So to discuss the appointment of the new human rights commissioners, and we'll get on also to the Law Commission's transgender review, Suzanne Levy from Speak Up for Women is back with us. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
I'm good, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so I see people are piling in on this already. What do you make of these new appointments?
Well, I think the thing I find the most fascinating is that the people who are opposed to this, to the particular commissioners, seem to be assuming that they're going to be completely biased and take that into their roles, which I think is extraordinary. Yep. Because they shouldn't be. And in fact, we shouldn't really even care about what people in those roles particularly think about issues. What we should care about is whether they're willing to discuss them and listen and, you know, engage in communication with different groups. And that, so from my point of view and Speak Up for Women's point of view, that's what we're interested in, is the fact that what it does appear is that these commissioners will listen to things. I mean, obviously we're mainly talking about Dr. Stephen Rainbow. And, you know, it seems as if that he is certainly open to ideas, or the idea that, you know, the transgender or gender identity thing is an issue that's worth looking at and needs to be looked at. But he's clearly okay with talking about things. And that's the most important thing for us, because what we've been trapped in is a no debate thing.
Yeah.
That's what we've been up against for years. And we're in a no debate cycle, because the trans rights activists, quite frankly, don't have anything to say other than trans woman or woman. So, you know, that is why they can't engage in a debate, because there's no nuance, there's nothing. There's just trans woman or woman, you're awful, you're bigots, you're this, that, the other.
Yeah.
So to be able to... So the idea that there's going to be a commissioner who will allow these things to be discussed and recognises that they need to be discussed, to me, that's the most important thing. I think if we had commissioners who were simply on the side of the particular government that appointed them, and then we would just be swinging all over the place, which unfortunately is what we've had with Paul Hunt. You know, he was completely captured by gender ideology, and it yeah. showed through everything he did, right to the point where
appointed for that reason.
I couldn't say why he was appointed, but he, you know, yeah. but he, even if his own opinion on gender ideology was such that he thought that it was the bee's knees, he could have still performed his role as a commissioner well by listening to people and allowing other points of view. As it happened, you know, the opposite's true. So, you know, under his watch, the Human Rights Commission have released policy right through government. It's affected so many other areas. They have produced policy that represents the law the way they would like it to be, not the way that it is. And that's the worst thing they've done. It's right through when, you know, we have basically councils and service providers who really believe that they cannot treat trans women as men. They, you know, yep. And that's because that's what it says on the Human Rights Commission website. It says in a lot of ways, very clearly, transgender women should be treated exactly the same as women. So, yep. You know, that's all come under Paul's watch. So, you know, and we managed to get them to put a disclaimer on their webpage, which is not what we asked for. We asked for them to correct the information. We pointed out that it didn't match what the law said. They didn't change any of the advice on their FAQ page, but they did put a disclaimer saying it's not legal advice and it hasn't been tested and what have you. But they, you know, didn't go out and publicise that or let anybody know that it had changed. And, you know, look, hey, all you people who've been saying, oh, the Human Rights Commission told us, you know, they're not proactively correcting any of that. So, you know, they're the sorts of things we would like to discuss with the new commissioner is, you know, why is it presented this way, I should say, and what can we do about fixing that?
Yeah. What sort of reaction have you seen, across the various platforms and media?
Lots of toy throwing. Yeah, lots of little yeah. tantrums, and which is what I find interesting, because it's like they're just assuming that Stephen Rainbow thinks a particular way, and B, that he's just going to push that right through. And there's no reason to assume he is. Hopefully he's going to listen. He's going to allow for some good conversations.
Yeah, because he has quite a background that should reassure people,
I think so. Yeah, he's been involved in some causes. He's a gay man. He's been involved in the New Zealand AIDS Foundation. He was, you know, very prominent in the same-sex marriage, push for same-sex marriage. You know, I note that he calls it same-sex marriage, which is wonderful. It's not same-gender marriage or nonsense. It's
right. Yeah. Okay. Marriage. Yeah.
So it's definitely promising. And you know, it's excellent. But again, none of those views should affect how he does his role. He should be looking at things. He should be looking at everything equally and appreciating that people have different views. And that's what we would like, because it means that way things can actually be discussed. And at the end of, you know, he'll have a term as commissioner. And, you know, what we'd like to see during that time is actual communication, actual conversations and actual results, not just another side taking over and pushing their view, even though their view's right, obviously. But you know, otherwise it just swings back the other way. You need to have had a conversation where actually this is a conflict. There are issues to talk about here. We have trans rights are human rights, and we have women's rights. And you know, it's amazing that people can't see. Some people can't see that there are conflicts there. There were always going to be conflicts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what needs to happen over the next wee while is that those conflicts need to be talked about, and they need to be resolved, and they need to be resolved in such a way that they can withstand the change of a commissioner, change of government.
I've been, you know, looking around at some of the reporting, and see the spin-off are pretty quick to get in there, as you would expect,
yeah.
raising something that Stephen Rainbow said years ago when he was at AT, Auckland Transport, I presume that is. You know, and sort of honing in on that or targeting that. RNZ, the same, raising the same issue. Melissa Darby as well at the event, I think, in Manawatu somewhere. And I think there was a Speak Up for Women event, from memory of the reporting anyway, or a similar event.
She commented on, she might have even, God help her, she liked a tweet, I think, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is so picky, and it's quite frankly, it's immature in my view. Yeah. But what I'm detecting here, because we know about the anti-TERF movement, But in reaction that I'm seeing, okay, RNZ's reporting it without too much hype, but they're highlighting those things I just mentioned. Spinoff is going OTT, as you'd expect. There does seem to be, someone like me, a real split emerging now between the what I would call the conventional, am I allowed to use that word, gay community, as we've come to know it over decades and decades, and the trans community. They've kind of seem to be separating themselves out, not only from the TERFs, but from, you know, gay men as well. There seems to be some sort of fissure there now.
It's interesting because, you know, obviously gay men are impacted in a similar way to lesbians when you're talking about people proclaiming that they're the opposite sex and somehow gay. And, you know, so you've got young women who are, you know, gay, suddenly gay men. Now, that's obviously an issue for gay men, but it's a slightly different issue than for lesbians. There's not quite the same threat, I guess, physical threat that comes with a man that wants to invade a space. And you know, and there's a, I guess there's also the history of it. You know, I remember, you know, in the 80s or the 90s, and you know, in a gay bar, you'd have it was very common for men to sort of come up and go, oh, you know, I'm a lesbian, and I want to be a lesbian, and that kind of thing. And it wasn't very funny then, and it's not. No. It's even less funny now. But it was just kind of you roll your eyes and kind of move on. But you know, but to actually have that taken seriously by obviously a different type of man, but it's the same. It's the same shit, really. You know, it's the same thing. I don't think gay men have had that kind of.
No, I'm not saying that they have.
No. What I'm getting to. Sorry, I'm taking my time here. Is that they're a little later to the party with the. In general, there are definitely some fantastic gay guys that have been on board with this right through. But there, you know, I think it's you know, people often don't take notice of something until it starts to affect them. And it's just so obviously it's just slightly different for them.
Well, I guess I was thinking the trans community sort of putting itself on its own little island with no allies now, just, you know, squawking and, like you say, throwing toys and, you know, you're transphobic and that sort of stuff, you know, on their own.
Yeah, well, they must be really struggling with having, you know, they're basically anti this new commissioner who's a gay man, and it must be quite difficult for them to sort of manage all of that, the arguments. So he's gay, but, you know, so I think the, you know, there are people in the, I mean, there's no such thing as the rainbow community. It's just, you know, different people. But, yeah, certainly there are this sort of thing. I guess it's what you could say that the gay community, some parts of the gay community have been wanting to sort of separate off from the
T. I know about that.
You know, and this might, this kind of thing, I guess, could make the T community want to separate off from the LGB, except that I don't think they will, because so much of their support comes from people thinking they're supporting the gay community. You know, it's kind of... They're on the back of that, really, I think.
Yeah. I think people are getting a bit fed up now. You know, I really do. With respect to everybody, you know, we just hear it over and over again. And it wears you out hearing it, I've got to say.
Yeah, it does. I mean, one of the other things that's interesting with this guy's appointment is that some of the people on, I could say, our side are really anti it because he's gay. So that, you know, they think it's a diversity appointment or just another. There's been some really horrible stuff I've seen on Twitter, or X, I should say, which is quite interesting. So they, even though there's a lot of evidence that this guy is kind of potentially a good appointment, I think he's a really good appointment personally.
Yeah, so what would the logic of those views be then?
Well, unfortunately, Paul, there are people who go around calling themselves gender critical and who are kind of wanting, or they're anti-gender ideology, and they're also anti-gay. So it's right. kind of, you know, there's some of those same people that where if you scratch the surface, there's a lot of homophobia that you see in any of the sort of discussion groups and communities, yep. because people join them thinking they're joining something that is. I mean, there are unfortunately people who are anti-transgender, and they attach themselves as well to these movements, and then it, you know, and it sort of comes out really when it turns out that they're actually anti-gay too. It's nothing right. to do.
Usually yeah. tracks the two together. Yeah. Usually track. Yeah. I don't think people are anti. Transgender. This is, I think, the mistake, and what do I know, but the mistake that the transgender community, the vocal part of it anyway, the aggressive part, the mistake they make is that the average fair-minded person isn't anti-transgender, because live and let live, okay?
Oh, no, you're dead right. I think most people are not anti-trans at all, and it's you know, and it's just the sort of hateful, turf bigot,
it's the
Nazi,
kids.
Fascist
it's the kids.
Kind of stuff.
And you know, trying to bury women—that's the issue.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, you're absolutely right. But what I'm trying to say is that on the fringes of that, there are people who really just don't like anyone who's different.
Yeah, no, I get
and
that.
And they, yeah. so that's what I'm talking about. I think the majority of people that we work with are definitely not anti-trans. They're anti-gender ideology for sure.
Yeah.
Or the idea of being treated as something that's real versus a belief. So that, you know, they're sex realists. But yeah, but it's interesting because when you have someone like Stephen Rainbow who's there and they're talking about him, suddenly the fact that he's gay is an issue.
Yeah. Well, yeah. you'd want people across, you know, you do want a diversity of people in these roles,
yeah.
because that's
yeah.
what you're dealing with. That's the job.
Yeah.
That's what you're dealing with.
Yeah,
I mean, the easy stuff is the easy stuff. You need people to understand broadly to deal with the difficult stuff, and that's the stuff that's where the work gets done, right? Really,
it is. And if he's been on with the AIDS Foundation, he will have seen all sorts of stuff, you know, in terms of discrimination. So, I think it's a good appointment.
Okay, and you guys will be engaging with these commissioners,
yes.
if you can. What's the plan there?
Well, I'm not 100% sure when Dr. Rainbow is starting in the role. It just sort of said later in the year, but I will find that out. And Tanya yep. Stewart, who's my other, who's our co-leader, and I will be making contact and requesting a bit of a meeting with him, sort of probably proceeding it with some words as well, some written words for him to read and take in,
warm
and then we'll
have before you go. Yeah.
Warm him up, get him up to speed. I suspect he's up to speed quite well. So that's what our plan will be. But yes, we don't know when he's actually starting.
Okay, let's move on quickly to we want an update on the meeting with the Law Commission earlier this month. Can you quickly tell us what that's about and how did it go?
Yeah, so the Law Commission, I'm not sure how much you know about this, but they're doing, I'm just bringing anything up now.
Reviewing the protections of the Human Rights Act 93 for people who are transgender, people who are non-binary, sorry, and people with innate variations of sex characteristics.
Yeah, so they're looking at whether or not the Act in its current form protects those people. And they're asking for that. They produced a 200-page document discussing this.
200 pages?
Yeah, 200 pages. Quite a small font as well, so, you know. It's a lot. It's a massive.
Back to the warehouse for more powerful glasses.
Exactly. So we've been. I don't know. Sometimes my eyes have been bleeding looking at it, but we're getting through it. And so individual people can make submissions on it through the website. But it's pretty daunting. But what I will say is that you can, if you're just a person who doesn't want to read a 200 page document, but you think you might have something to say about this, there is on the Law Commission website, there is a 20 page summary. So, you know, that's something, okay. I suppose. And then you can go through the questions, and you don't have to answer them all. And there's a question at the end where you can pretty much put what you want as well. So if you've got something to say, it's definitely worth having a look. It is a bit daunting, but it's not impossible. And it's definitely, yeah, I would recommend. I mean, they do want to hear from people. So they've sort of asked us to let people know to use, you know, they can use that last question to put whatever you want. If it's not covered, or if you haven't read the whole document, you're not sure which question it is you want to answer, you can use that. So we met with them, with some other gender critical groups in Wellington a couple of weeks ago. I think it went quite well. It was an interesting meeting. The feeling that we got out of it was that they don't really know how they're going to give a group who are basically unable to be defined any sort of extra, well, any specific protection. So,
it's a bit of a bind, isn't it? I was thinking, is this really necessary? Because there are laws already to...
Yeah, the way we've kind of approached it is that we think that so the Human Rights Act's got 13 grounds, prohibited grounds of discrimination. So there are things like sex and age and marital status and religion, political belief, those sorts of things, sexual orientation. And so they're all things you can kind of prove. Even religion is probably the shakiest one, but even that you can kind of prove that somebody is well, you can prove that someone was discriminated against because of religion.
Yep.
So
yep.
Where if you introduce a ground that is based on somebody's subjective opinion of themselves, but at the same time, if you have that group included under the ground of sex, which is what's kind of loosely happening at the moment, it makes it very, very difficult to categorize within that ground. So, you know, so we're kind of quite keen to have some kind of definition of sex expression, which is definable, but is different than the ground for sex, and it would enable us to do a few different things in terms of particularly keeping sex safe, the ground of sex. So that's our number one priority, is having the exceptions that are in the Human Rights Act for on the basis of sex. So everything that sort of says you can't discriminate except in this case, you know, you can say woman only, those sorts of parts of the act. They rely on being able to define sex really clearly. And so that's kind of our focus, is saying, you know, we're using it as a way of strengthening the current Human Rights Act, and then maybe giving a little bit of an idea of how you could protect people against being discriminated against because they don't look like we think it's acceptable to look.
Yeah, even that's so subjective, isn't it? That's the thing.
It is, yeah. But we found a sort of little bit of room to maybe give something a wee bit more concrete.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're hoping to have that probably Friday, maybe the weekend. But it's quite a lot to get through, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, 200 pages and all of that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for that. Suzanne, always good to talk to you. Thanks for coming back on RCR. And won't be the last time the train rolls on, right?
It does. Thanks, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.